Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 again for the last time. But before I read our passage, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word, and we do pray that you would encourage our hearts with it, that you might build us up and give us understanding, that we might grow in our love of you, our knowledge of you, and we might be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, picking up at verse 25. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbour. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner, and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you, without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, "This has been offered in sacrifice," then do not eat it, for the sake of the one who informed you, and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the Church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. Here we find, effectively, Paul's summary of everything that's gone before it. And so I just want you to picture for a moment that, picture yourself visiting someone's home, and you're sitting in their home, and you're sitting down at the dinner table, and they've laid out a beautiful table spread, and there's fine china and lovely cutlery, and everything looks perfect. And then they bring out the meal, and it's a beautiful leg of ham, or a pork roast, or a large chicken, call it whatever you want. Picture your favorite meat. And if you're a vegetarian, I guess whatever vegetarians find out to be their favorite. I'm not a vegetarian. And it gets laid before you. And as you're sitting, looking at it, thinking to yourself, that looks lovely, the host then comes up and puts a glass down in front of you with a yellowy, brownish type liquid in it. You don't know what's in it. They just puts it there. And as you sit back, you look at your friend and you say to him, "Wow, this is a beautiful meal. I can't wait to get stuck in." And the host prays. And you grab your knife and you cut off a piece of meat for yourself and you stick it on your plate and you take some veggies and some potatoes and you stick it on there and you eat some meat and you put it in your mouth and you take a drink of whatever the drink is that they've given you and you start eating your potatoes and your veggies and you're just thoroughly enjoying yourself. And you're completely at peace. And then you look over towards your friend, your Christian brother, and he says to you, "How can you eat that? How can you drink that?" And you say, "Well, what do you mean? I'm just enjoying a meal." And they say to you, "Don't you understand that that a piece of meat was actually just offered to Allah as a sacrificial offering in worship of the God of Islam? And don't you understand that that's beer? You can't drink beer as a Christian. That's not a good witness to these people in front of you. What do you do? What do you do? 1 minute, you're celebrating, you're eating, you're drinking, you're thinking nothing of it. The next minute, your friend is saying this to you. What do you do?" Paul helpfully outlines exactly what you do. And the solution is, you don't eat and you don't drink. And you might think to yourself, "Well, that's not right. I am completely free." And Paul would say, "Yes, yes, you are. You are completely free to eat and drink. However, for the sake of your loved one, you won't eat and drink. How do we think through these issues? How do we come to properly wrestle through the reality of matters of the freedom of the conscience, matters that are free to us to make our own decision before the Lord, when it comes to other people? See, it's very easy in the space of your own home to decide to drink a beer or eat a pork roast or drink a whiskey or whatever other conscience issue you want to insert in there. It's very easy for you to think through that in the privacy in your own home. When it comes to outside of our home with other people, it gets a lot harder, doesn't it? So how do we think through it? Paul actually provides us with a set of beautiful guiding principles that should undergird all of our decisions in the way we act with our brothers and sisters as our liberty of conscience intersects together. And the first thing he mentions is effectively brotherly love. The thing that should drive us is our brotherly love. That's why he says in verse 28, if someone says, this has been offered in sacrifice, don't eat it for the sake of the one who informed you, for the sake of conscience, that is their conscience. In other words, out of love for your brother and sister, rather than seeking to sort of brag about your freedom and offend your brother or sister, you're better off just laying it aside for one evening out of love for them. I remember hearing the story of a pastor who had made a decision never to drink alcohol, and then he went out to a person's house for dinner. New church, new parish, they invited him to dinner, and they just put a beer down in front of him. And he looked at it, and he didn't know what to do, and it happened to be two pastors together, and one of the pastors leaned over to the other pastor and said, just pick it up and drink it, out of love for these people in front of us. And so that's what they did. Now, in their own home, I don't know what they did after that, but in that moment, they made the conscious decision out of love for these people that had just opened their home to them to partake with them. So firstly, love of brother. Secondly, glory of God. Whatever you do, eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. Now, that goes both ways. That enables us to have freedom to do it to the glory of God, but it also enables us to lay it aside to the glory of God. You see, the chief motivator in the decisions I'm going to make in myself and as it relates to my brothers and sisters is not what's best for Logan, but what is going to promote the glory of God the most. And that becomes the overarching motivator for everything I do, especially as it relates to matters of the conscience, where there's some grey area here and there. Thirdly, whatever you do, do it in thanksgiving. Paul says, verse 30, if I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? As it relates to your freedom of the conscience in your own space, in your own home, if you can do it with thanksgiving, do it with all your might. Praise the Lord. But when it comes to treating these situations with other people, can you give thanks while offending your brother or sister? If beer offends one of your sisters in Christ, can you drink it and say, thank you, God, for this beer while my sister is hurt and grieving and struggling? Of course you can't. Fourthly, the benefit of others, and primarily as it relates to salvation. Just as, verse 32, might as well start there, give no offense to Jews or Greeks or to the Church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. So we have the thanksgiving principle, we had that glory of God principle, we have brotherly love principle, and here we see we have effectively a desire to see the lost saved. Now this goes both ways, doesn't it? This is going to enable us to sit down with a free conscience and eat with an unbeliever and not stress about what they're feeding us. It's also going to enable us to set aside our freedoms in an attempt to win a believer. To win an unbeliever. You know what I mean. We can set aside or embrace freedoms depending what the context allows, in order to herald the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, the salvation of a sinner is far more important than my liberty of enjoying said freedom. And then lastly, the last principle is that of imitating Christ. Paul says, chapter 11, verse 1, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." You see, he effectively looks backwards through all the principles he's just said, and he says, copy me in the way I do this. Why? Because I'm following the pattern of Christ. Didn't Christ lay aside his freedoms in order to serve? Didn't Christ lay aside his clothing and take upon himself the towel of a servant and wash the disciples' feet? Didn't Jesus give up his rights in order to save a people for himself? You see, it's the mind of Christ that drives us and constrains us and frees us in every situation we find ourselves in. Whether you should eat or drink, whether you should celebrate or not celebrate, the ultimate principle, the ultimate example that will set you free as you wrestle through these things is imitating Christ. What would Christ do? It's like those cheesy bracelets they used to have. What would Jesus do? How would he act in this situation? And if we keep that in the forefront of our mind, if we keep all of these principles in the forefront of our mind, I think it will enable us to actually be a lot more free in some instances and to really pull back our freedoms in other instances. All to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, it's been a long section through Corinthians on how we live and conduct ourselves, and we acknowledge we generally are pretty useless at it, and so we pray that you'd help us, conform us to your word, that, Lord, we might follow you faithfully. Lord, as we head towards the Sabbath tomorrow, the Christian Sabbath, we pray that you would turn our hearts towards worship and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for another day. I will see you back here next week as we pick up in chapter 11 and start thinking about head coverings. That'll be an interesting chapter. We'll see you then.